Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
All right, nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning, ready to roll for moving day in Minnesota. Also have a very interesting, enticing leaderboard at the NV Invitational. It's the Chicago Corn Ferry Tour event where Thomas Rosenmuller, he played college golf in North Texas from Germany. He's in the lead, tied at the top there at 15 under with Dylan Minnette. The reason I bring up the KFT leaderboard initially is because University of Texas ex Tommy Morrison, one shot back going into the weekend, and he has just come out firing out of the University of Texas at 21 years old. Finished up at Texas, turned pro in mid-June, and since then, you look at his first KFT event in Amarillo, finished 10th. Goes to the Memorial Health Championship, finishes 5th. And then last week, or 2 weeks ago at the Blue Championship, finishes 2nd. I don't believe, let me get a quick fact here. This is from Corn Ferry Tour. Since opening 70 in his first round as a professional in Amarillo, Tommy Morrison since then has gone, these are all his rounds since then, 68, 65, 69, 67, 65, 61, 69, 63, 69, 68, 67, 65 in round one at the NV5, and then yesterday shoots a 63. Had it going, did bogey 18. But shot 63 to get within one heading into the weekend. That's something to keep an eye on as Tommy Morrison tries to track down his first Corn Ferry Tour win. And I'll tell you, if he can get it going, he has not finished outside the top 10 in his first three starts. If he can get it going to close out the Corn Ferry Tour year, I mean, he's already, with three top 10s out of the gate, he's already jumped to 29th on the Corn Ferry Tour standings. If he's inside the top 20 by the end of the Corn Ferry Tour season, Tommy Morrison will have only had to spend half a year on KFT before making the transition to PGA Tour. And that's a storyline to absolutely get fired up here as the season winds down. As far as what's going on at TPC Twin Cities, Friday belonged to Michael Kim, who has won PGA Tour win back in 2013, shortly after he came out of Cal Berkeley, and got another win on the DP World Tour at the end of last fall in France. Since then, you know, he does have finished runner-up in San Antonio back at the beginning of April. You know, but it has been a bit of a rough three tournaments here coming in for Michael Kim before he took the lead in the second round. Miscut at John Deere, miscut at the Scottish Open, and then miscut at the Open Championship. But yesterday, first off, he opened 69, was not a huge part of the conversation after round one. A lot of low scores in Minnesota. He comes out yesterday. He shoots 29 on the front, shoots 6 under on the front, and makes the turn and really doesn't, I mean, obviously he's on fire, 6 under through 9. You know, he birdies 10 and 12, but pars on 11, pars on 13, pars on 14. 59 is looking unlikely while he's standing on the 15th tee box. It was the type of 59 I really just haven't seen before. You know, he birdies 15, birdies 16, birdies 17. 18, the par 5 is playing tough this week. The rough is up, and especially on 18, if you miss the fairway, there's water down the right side. It's not the easiest of par 5s. I believe Michael Kim missed the fairway there. You know, he was able to set up a 24-foot putt, uphill putt, breaking right. I believe he played it a ball outside left, and absolutely buried it to put his name in the record books. AJ, let's hear that call for Michael Kim's 59.
Sub 60 in PGA Tour history.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's so exciting. It's so great.
Unfortunately, when Michael Kim goes back and watches that, you know, that was not the best of calls considering he shot 59. You know, to just get a couple wows, and that was great from the announcers. They really did not kind of capture the moment there in any way, shape, or form, considering, you know, once again, 15th different player to shoot 59 in the PGA Tour event, 16th sub-60 round. Jim Furyk owns two of them, 59 at Conway Farms, 58 at TPC River Highlands. But I mean, we haven't, you know, Jake Knapp did it last February, but that was the lowest score of the season. Michael Kim's 59, lowest score in 3M history. And yeah, obviously the way that it happened to birdie out the last four, you know, what a dream there for Michael Kim. And in his words, though, a lot of golf to go. When you have an easy golf course like this week, a little bit of rain in the forecast going to make things soft. You know, it's all of a sudden you shoot 59 on Friday. You really cannot sit back and relax, try to hold your lead. You have to keep it going. But Kim, you know, Michael Kim looks good through 36. Led the field Friday in stroke gained approach. Led the field in putting, feeling amazing on the greens. He talked about the part that I liked most about his 59 is the way he talked about not starting to steer it on 17 and 18. What I mean by that is, you know, you understand, you know, all of a sudden you're, you know, what, par 71, all of a sudden you're 11 under with a chance. And sometimes you'll see players put on the brakes, make some nervy swings. Michael Kim did not do that. Here he was on attacking the moment.
Yeah, I heard I'm one of 15, I guess, or the 15th guy to shoot 59. You know, I kind of remember thinking on 18 that, you know, kind of you have to go for it. You know, 60 or 61 doesn't really make too much of a difference. And to shoot 59 today was pretty cool and feels like I'm part of the history books, which is great.
I'll tell you, we're going to get into a lot of names on this leaderboard. You know, Emiliano Grillo, when you look in the top five, when you talk about the player who has the most experience near the top of this leaderboard, it is Emiliano Grillo. He is having one of the best putting runs on the PGA Tour. Very hot on the greens at the moment. Can keep up in the birdie fest. Rolled it amazing at the U.S. Open where he topped 25. You know, and had it in his last start at the Deer. You know, he didn't play the Scottish. He didn't play the Open. So he's had a couple weeks off after the Griots welcomed their first child, which we'll hear about that in a little bit. But Emiliano Grillo putting phenomenal at the moment. You know, another guy playing very well in the top five on this board, and this leaderboard is going to change dramatically with how low the scores are. So we're going to get to a lot of players, even if they're not a top right now. We'll get Jackson Koivun, who's four back, believe in his third start out of Auburn. Another Auburn Tiger who is playing amazing right now is Ben Coles. And you look at his run into here, you know, Ben Coles, you know, had a couple strong seasons on the PGA Tour. exactly how long he had his card. I believe he was on the PGA Tour 2024-2025, and you know, did not play strong enough last year to hold full status. He's had to go back and forth from the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour this year. But he's really found his game. You know, won the BMW Charity Classic at the beginning of June on Korn Ferry Tour. Since then, he's been able to work in a couple more PGA Tour starts. Did have the top 25 at the U.S. Open, and then went to the John Deere, finished tied third. Had a top 20 at the ISCO, which is the opposite field event for the Open. But Ben Coles is going to have another shot. 36 years old, five-time Korn Ferry Tour winner, knows how to close the door in the big spot. You know, I think he's going to be someone who hangs around the top of the board. And you know, he shot 62 yesterday. Couldn't believe it when Kim sunk the putt for 59. It was kind of a Coles was at the stand. Kim was on the 18th hole. Cole's talking to media, and Cole saw the putt live. Here he was on the scoring at TPC Twin Cities.
I hit good putts, just didn't go in, and you know, so I said, keep going. Wow, he made it. That's sick. Yeah, 62. Well, there was just a 59, so you know, I guess that 62 wasn't as good, but yeah, obviously the course is still a little scoreable. You know, I mean, I think the wind's supposed to blow a little bit harder this afternoon, so, you know, we'll just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I think, you know, does he have the experience at the 3M? He does. He's made three starts in Minnesota, Coles, at the 3M over the years. Two top 25s in that run. So he's going to be a strong contender this week, and he is not someone I would be looking to fade. I'll tell you, Troy Merritt, and you know, he is Troy Merritt is 10 under, four back. You know, solid player. Troy Merritt has had a good career with two PGA Tour wins, but he told the press, you know, he's half retired right now. This kind of came out of nowhere. I will say, results wise, and he's another one like Coles. He's having to split time between the Korn Ferry Tour and PGA Tour. Troy Merritt at 40 years old. You know, he had the top five at the Memorial Health, which is a Korn Ferry Tour event, at the end of June. He then turned around two starts ago, finished top 25 at the John Deere. He has put up some results, but in his words yesterday, he has been a Thursday, Friday guy because he has carpal tunnel in both of his hands. And his hands wear out, his hands cramp up. So I haven't checked the three balls today. Let's see who Troy Merritt is up against. See if he's a potential fade option for today. You've got Chandler Phillips, Texas A&M alum, Huntsville local Chandler Phillips versus Troy Merritt. Let's see. Chandler's a minus 131 favorite. I don't like that. You have Jackson Koivun as a minus 189 favorite over Troy Merritt. And yeah, that Koivun's even up to minus 215 against Troy Merritt. So the books know this. The books heard him at Troy Merritt at the podium yesterday, and they're going to juice up all his numbers. But I don't, with the way he was talking to the press yesterday afternoon, it wouldn't surprise me if Troy Merritt had a tough time hanging on. I like Emiliano Grillo a lot going into this weekend. He's hitting his irons well. That was what we were uncertain on going into this week. You look at Grillo's last three, didn't hit his irons that great in Canada, didn't hit his irons that great at the John Deere Classic. It's going to be a big part of things this weekend, but he is putting amazing. We'll hear from Grillo on the other side. We'll do a little bit review, a little bit more review of the Open Championship. You know, I want to talk about Scotty. He's seven back right now, in excellent position to make a big move. He had a hot start, shot two over on the back nine yesterday to kind of drop down the leaderboard. And I saw him get to 8-1 in the books, I think now down to 6-1. Still hasn't reached that magic 10-1 number. We'll talk about that more on the other side here. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
More on Emiliano Grillo, who is going to have an excellent chance to win his third PGA Tour event by the time we get to Sunday, as long as his iron play holds up. Grillo has played amazing in Minnesota over the years. Third in 2020, tied second in 22, tied 10th in 2023, a couple top 20s over the last 2 years. And he loves this golf course. He did get the tougher side of the draw this week and still close to the top of the board. Tell you, he has... Grillo was another one who... the media got his reaction as far as Michael Kim's 59. They asked him if he thought it was out there yesterday afternoon. Of course, Kim played in the morning. By the time that Grillo in the afternoon wave got out there, he's blowing about 12 to 17 miles per, more in the 20 to 30 mile per hour range. Here was Grillo on the scoring conditions yesterday and a little bit more on Michael Kim.
Yeah, definitely was. It wasn't a 59 out there. Maybe somebody playing really well could have shot 64, 63, but I feel like that would have been the lowest. Obviously, it takes a little good game, even on a calm day, to go out and shoot 59. Everybody kind of dreams of having that number, so congrats to him, and hopefully no more 59s from him after today.
Yeah, someone else will probably have a 60 or 61. You might even see another 59. I mean, last week at the Open, you saw three players shoot 62. Sam Burns, Lucas Herbert, and who was the third? Sam Burns, Lucas Herbert. Let me think of the third one. But Grillo goes out at 12:25 today alongside Chandler Phillips. The final pairing is Michael Kim and Ben Coles. They go out at 12:35. And then you'll have, let's see, before them, you have Jackson Koivin going out with Troy Merritt, which explains why they're in the three ball together. Zach Blair and Billy Horschel at 12:05. Zach Blair's playing some sneaky good golf. He's 27-1 rolling into the weekend. Get you an update on Blair here. I mean, Blair has back-to-back top 10 finishes coming into this week. He has had a strong season. With four total top tens, finished ninth 3 weeks ago at the John Deere, and then finished eighth at the ISCO. 35 years old, one time Corn Ferry Tour winner. It would not surprise me at all if he gets it done. At maybe a fall event. I don't know. At a course like 3M, he's never done anything over the years. Last night I did look into how Zach Blair's played at the Wyndham at Sedgefield, which is the last regular event of the season. He hasn't had any success there either, but he's arguably playing some of the best golf of his career. I expect Zach Blair, to hang around at the top of the board. Yes, for Svensson, this is a younger rookie out of Sweden. I'm not surprised at all. He's playing well. 8-under in a tie for 10th. He will go out with, Jesper Svensson. He's going out with Brian Harman. And Harman's at 9-under. You do have a couple vets there in Billy Horschel and Brian Harman there. Tied 7th. 6 shots back of the lead. Horschel 33-1. Harman 22-1. Horschel, I don't believe has had any major results as of late. Yeah, coming in here off 3 missed cuts in a row. Did have a top 20 at the 3M in his only start. So, knows this course well. I don't know. I'd preferably like Harman, or would think Harman would stay around the top of the board a little bit longer than Horschel in the current state. I don't know. Harman played pretty horrible at the Open Championship, but has been one of those guys this season. Brian Harman can put two or three great rounds together. Has not put put together a four-round tournament all season, which is why his best finish is 11th. He has not been there on Sunday late. Doesn't mean he can't get it going quickly like we've seen Lucas Glover do over his last two starts. Been in contention after missing a ton of cuts all season. Harmon, three-time winner, major winner. Can get himself in contention quickly with nothing. Scottie Scheffler heads into the weekend at 7 under. He opened 65 on Thursday. And what did he start the week at plus 260 odds? By after he shot 65 on Thursday, he was down to plus 180. The only tournament Scottie's won this year was a birdie fest in the Amex. So he can keep up in this kind of thing. He almost won the Byron Nelson until Wyndham Clark passed him up. But Friday was a different story for Scottie. Four birdies, a double bogey on six. It was a double bogey on 16. He bogeyed 17 and birdied 18. Where'd that double bogey come? The double was on 14, which was unfortunate. His chipping, coming from the Lynx golf environment has not been too sharp on the wet bank grass in Detroit. 133rd is strokes gained around the greens right now for Scottie, but 7 back is well within reach. He's 7-1 right now in Vegas. He's in this golf tournament. He has won 3 PGA Tour events in his career, trailing by at least 7 at the halfway point. A lot has been talked about this year about the fact that, and last week in particular, you remember last week's show, we heard from Scottie after Friday, and I think he was 2 or 3 back of the lead, and the reporter asked, "Are you satisfied with this?" And Scottie said, look, if I'm not at the top of the leaderboard, I'm really not going to be satisfied. He was just saying to be completely honest, and that's a spot he just hasn't gotten to a lot this year compared to the last 3 years. He hasn't gotten to the top of the leaderboard and intimidated everybody and been able to hold everybody off. But heck, you could see Scottie go out there and shoot 59 today. He's going to have the earlier time. Let's see who Scottie. Yeah, Scottie's in a perfect pairing with Hideki Matsuyama. Who has had a solid start to this week. Hideki at 7 under, tied 13th, driving the ball a lot better. Lucas Glover's still there at 7 under as well. What did he shoot, even par? No, he shot 1 under yesterday after a 6 under opening round. I just don't know if Glover has the putts in the broomstick to keep up in a scoring festival. But now, Scottie's in this thing. There's no doubt about it. You look back to some of his wins, 9 back at the halfway point before winning the 2022 Phoenix Open. I believe he was 8 back at one point the first time he won Bay Hill. He was quite a ways back going into the weekend at the Pro Corps in 2025. So, just because Michael Kim shot 59 yesterday, it doesn't mean that Scottie can't come win this tournament. And really, it would surprise me if Michael Kim held on to this lead. How old is Michael now? 33 years old, 1 PGA Tour win, and absolutely no form coming into this week with the driving accuracy all over the place. And that's kind of the one thing you got to do at TPC Twin Cities. You have to put the ball in the fairway. Scottie started the week saying that. And actually, how about Scottie playing in Minnesota this week? In 2 years' time, when Brian Roelof's footprint comes to life, Scottie's not going to be allowed to play the 3M. Elite players will not be able to play Challenger Tour events like the 3M. We need to enjoy these events where, Scottie's chasing down kind of the middle class of the PGA Tour. It's going to produce an excellent Sunday. But Scotty cannot shoot 68 today and expect the leaderboard to come back to him. That's not going to happen. Not in this weather. And not with this many guys between him and the lead. You look at the names between Scotty Scheffler and the lead, and there's really, I mean, who's gonna intimidate Scotty on this leaderboard? I guess Gary Woodland is there at 7 under. He is always intimidating at the Bomb and Gouge. Has played very well in Minnesota over the years. How about Chris Kirk right now, 4 under through 6? He is now in a tie for 7th. Not only does he like this golf course, loves Detroit. Chris Kirk lost in a playoff there last year. Was in the playoff with Botgieter and Gracerman. Yeah, Chris Kirk, top 20 here last year before going and contending at, no, let's see here. The 3M last year was Detroit got moved this year. That's right. Detroit's next week, right? Rocket Classic next week. Last year, it was 2 weeks before the British Open. So it's not the same run-up for Kirk. Kirk had a very good end of last year, finished 2nd in Detroit, 14th in Minnesota, had a top 5 at Sedgefield to get into the first round of the playoffs, and then finished 9th in Memphis. So this will be an interesting run for Kirk, starting to hit the irons a lot better, but he putts it like Lucas Glover. So really tough to trust that he can get it done for 4 rounds in a birdie fest just by the way he putts it. Chris Kirk, yeah, 4 under through 6, out of the gates. A couple other moves being made. Max Gracerman, 3 under through 4. He's now at 6 under in a tie for 25th. That is about Matti Schmidt, who I have outright, really let me down yesterday with a 1 over round. Came out hot on Friday shooting, or on Thursday shooting 5 under. Did nothing yesterday, Matti Schmidt. And it's all due to the broomstick putter. He lost like 4.5 shots to the field on the greens yesterday with the broomstick putter. Same struggle as Siwoo, same struggle as Lucas Glover. But yeah, Gracerman and Kirk, the only ones really making a move so far this morning. Let's see, next group's out. ESPN Plus, they should be going live here in a few, starting with Sam Stevens and Kirk Kitayama. You know, Stevens at 5 under, 9 back. Would love for him to go out there and shoot 59 today. He's going out at 10 a.m. with defending champion Kirk Kitayama. A lot of good golf ahead today between the PGA Tour action and Korn Ferry Tour action. Also have the U.S. Junior going on. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. We'll take a break. Back in a few.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, ESPN Plus is live with 3M coverage right now. You got Joel Dahman here on the 4th tee box, par 3, 160 out. He's at 2 under with the bucket hat on. And Dahman's got the sun sleeves on in overcast conditions. Don't know why guys do that. And what, the sun hat with overcast conditions as well? Come on. Joel hits a nice one in there to 4. Who else is out there? Chris Kirk's 4 under through 7, as we talked about before the break. Jordan Smith, 3 under through 5. He has made a move from 3 under to 6 under to a tie for 25th. Let's see, someone like Smith at 6 under, you know, he's only, let's see, he's 5 back of second place, but, you know, 8 back of Michael Kim's lead. So a lot of this is going to depend, obviously, on what MK does today. You know, I think someone else is going to make a move. I think Michael Kim could play solid golf the next 2 days and still not win this golf tournament. I'm not even sure if 68-68 would get it done. I don't think it would. We'll see what happens here. As far as an outright ticket, now my card is, and we're going to talk about this in the 4 seconds. My card's not in a great spot. I don't have an outright winner in contention. I had three of them this week. Sam Stevens, who's at 5 under, shooter Sean Yilamiraju, who missed the cut, and then Mati Schmidt, who barely made the cut. If I had to add an outright going into this weekend, I'll tell you, I do love Emiliano Grillo, but it is tough to trust his iron play. You know, you do have Scotty there now at plus 624 on Kalshi. He has not gotten to 10-1 yet, unless I might have taken my eye off the odds boards for 30 minutes yesterday evening, unless I missed a quick jump to Scotty at 10-1. I don't believe he's gotten there yet. I'll tell you, Hideki Matsuyama, all year long we've talked about, oh, once Hideki gets the driver going. Well, Hideki's last three events, he's gotten the driver going. He's been in the top 25 over his last two events. Tied 14th at Travelers, tied 14th at the Open Championship. Hideki Matsuyama has been completely solid from tee to green across the board over his last two. In this kind of field, you know, if it wasn't going to be Scotty, I don't mind Hideki Matsuyama 7 back of the lead at 45-1 at all. I think that if I had to add an outright ticket, not that I am right now, it would be Hideki at 45-1. Michael Brennan is going to be a dangerous name. He is at 45-1. He is at 8 under, only 6 back of the lead. He is someone who can make a move up the leaderboard in a hurry on this type of golf course. And that's what was so tough to trust with Brennan pre-tournament. I mean, this guy, you don't know where he's going to show up. He is one of the longest drivers of the golf ball on the PGA Tour at 24 years old. You know, won in his first day out in Utah, you know, back last fall. You know, he is a scary name. Look at his run into this week, 52nd at the Scottish, 53rd at the Open. You just have to understand that those are not golf courses that fit Michael Brennan's game. Minnesota and Detroit next week are going to be different stories. Jackson Koivun, you know, he's plus 910 going into the weekend, 4 back. I kind of want to see how he performs in the big spot. One of the best college players of all time at Auburn. I don't want to take anything away from him. I mean, you look at his last 6 college starts. Won the Amari Invitational, won the Gator Invitational, won the Height, won the Mason Rudolph Championship. What, Mason Rudolph has his own college golf tournament? I thought Myles Garrett took him out. How does he have a college golf tournament?
I don't know. I guess he does, though.
Oh, good for him, supporting college golf. Koivun won the Ford Collegiate. And then he won the SEC stroke play before, you know, a couple top tens at regionals and the national championship. So this guy's last 8 starts at college before he turned pro at the end of June, you know, he's winning at an over 50% tick rate coming out of college. Now, since then, I think his last amateur start was the U.S. Open. Had the top 25 there, turns pro. He could have been pro at the U.S. Open. I'm going to have to find that out at the break. Anyways, first regular PGA Tour start was the John Deere Classic, missed the cut there, and then rebounded nicely in the opposite field event last week at the ISCO, had the top 10. I just want to see him in the mix at a PGA Tour event on Sunday. His numbers pre-tournament have been very juiced. Koivun between, 20 and 40-1. As a rookie at 21 years old, I hope he proves me wrong. I'm just at plus 910 with 36 to go into Birdie Fest. I want to see what Koivun has, especially due to the fact his iron play has dropped off a little bit here in his last two starts, has been good through 36. I want to see him put together 4 good ball striking rounds together. How about Camilo Villegas hitting a water ball here on the second hole? He's at 4 under. Oh, he got away with it. Camilo's dressed in all white today, and he went in the water right on 2. That could have been disastrous. That could have been 16 holes if Camilo had ruined his all-white outfit there of disaster. As far as any other moves being made, now, I don't think anything else other than Kirk and Smith. So we'll keep an eye on that there here over the last 20 minutes of the show. If I had to put an outright in, it would be Hideki at 45-1. I want to talk about some of the things from the Open last week. I got a couple messages after the Tuesday show, a couple disagreements with my takes on some of the rulings. As you know, Scotty in contention here in Minnesota, just 6 days after he came up a notch short at the Open Championship. You know, Scotty had an opportunity there on the 72nd hole to get into the playoff, ended up bogeying 18. But he ended up finishing 3 behind Ryan Fox at 7 under. And Scotty definitely struck the ball well enough to win last week. The putter did not convert enough. Wasn't quite as sharp with the irons on Saturday, in his words. Left himself 6 back going into Sunday. Not ideal. Had to pull off some kind of miracle, and almost did. So credit to Scotty there. But one other thing from Birkdale that I've now gone back and watched, I don't know, 20 times, was Scotty's ruling on 17 on Sunday. Remember, he hit that 3-wood way left. They never found the golf ball, and the officials gave him free relief under model local rule F23 because the officials were virtually certain that it had entered the temporary obstruction area. I understand the rule, and I think Scotty did a great job taking advantage of the rule. It's up to the player to take advantage of it, and then we'll get to Bryson and Rahm. Those were not examples of taking advantage of the rules. Bryson was bending the rules. Stomper. The Scotty situation, I just disagree that I don't understand how the official could be certain that that ball entered the temporary obstruction area. When you go look at the replay, that ball landed in the veg. You know, the standard for this kind of rule, it can't be maybe, it can't be probably. In the rule book, it is known or virtually certain. I have no idea how you watch that ball disappear left of the Claret tent into the veg and then come away virtually certain that it crossed into the TIO. To me, that ball stayed in the gorse. There's not even a bounce. It's not even like it hit the tent and then went in the gorse. But credit to Scotty and Teddy Scott. Supposedly Ted kind of stepped in and he believed that it crossed the fence of the defining TIO. I don't know how he was able to get a look at that from his angle. If you remember, Scotty hit that 3-wood from behind a hill. And as a player, once again, took advantage of the ruling. I completely disagree, though, with the factual determination of the rules official that went ahead and activated that rule. I thought it was well left of the Claret tent. So the other big rules conversation from Tuesday was Bryson DeChambeau. I'm not changing my opinion there whatsoever. In case you missed it, in case you missed the Tuesday show, Bryson drove it into the heavy grass on the fifth hole last Friday. The volunteer pointed, showed him where the ball was in that area. And immediately after that happened, Bryson goes and stomps his feet all around the area. And the R&A determined that he improved the area of his intended backswing. two-shot penalty under Rule 8.1. Correct ruling. You know, the RNA also made it clear that the made it very clear that this was accidental. You know, I'm not required to prove, you know, Bryson woke up Friday morning planning to cheat. I don't think it's tough to not try to make that case when you watch the video and when you watch the stomping that went down. Who stomps in a native area or the rough in a competitive tournament? I've never seen that happen before in my life. And the most legitimate contrary opinion on this subject came from Kevin Kisner this week, play-by-play guy for NBC. I'm sorry, color commentator. Kisner said he hated the violation because it was found through television footage after the round when an official had been walking with the group. His point was that another player in a group with no cameras might do the same exact thing and you'll never hear anything about it. Well, Neiman wasn't on camera at the U.S. Open when he chunked a club down the fairway and there was still a two-shot penalty there. I don't understand Kisner's argument. Unequal detection does not make an illegal action legal. So I don't understand that defense of Bryson's actions. Got to come up with a better argument there, Kiz. We went over the ROM thing, the club throwing thing. I don't think we have to get back to that. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll get you some finalized picks for the weekend in Minnesota, give you one more update on the leaderboard. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor, back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Yeah, a shout to Ryan Fox as well for winning the 154th Open Championship. Worldwide winner. It's been phenomenal to hear all the stories from people like Stevie Williams, who used to caddy for Tiger Woods, caddied for Tiger for as far as most of his major championships are concerned. You know, I listened to the, it was during the DP World Tour's review of Fox's career. As you've probably heard by now, Fox, late bloomer, grew up in a rugby family in New Zealand, played rugby and cricket most of his junior career, made the switch over to golf on a competitive level, you know, in his late teens. You know, really just go, I mean, you're talking about someone in Ryan Fox who, you know, maybe had played 2 years of competitive golf. He said that he'd always had some clubs in the garage and, you know, knew he could get the ball around. But really, you know, I believe he turned pro at 21 or 22. His dad, I remember his parents saying it was important that he went and got an education. I think he went to college, and then Ryan Fox, he said he started law school, knew that wasn't for him, and turned pro in a very quick time between the time he decided he was going to play golf competitively to the time he wanted to turn pro. He just went out and gave it a go, and you know, became a five-time DP World Tour winner, did not get his PGA Tour card till he was 37. Won twice last year on the PGA Tour, and then this year becomes a major champion. One of the most down-to-earth guys that you'll come across in the world of golf, Ryan Fox, you know, carries himself in a very professional way. It was kind of like when Brian Harman won a few years ago. I mean, you can't find, you know, many better class acts, more deserving players, and Ryan Fox is definitely one of those guys. Very deserving story. Another great story to keep an eye on going into the weekend in Minnesota. Muzzy Donahue 25 years old, St. Paul native, former hockey goalie, almost won a state championship in high school playing goalie in hockey. He then went and played college golf at Boston College and won the Minnesota State Open earlier this month, which earned him a sponsor's exemption into the 3M. And so he comes in this week very nervous, really limited expectations. He opened 73 on Thursday, and in a scoring fest like this, 73, you're in big trouble in a scoring fest like this. And then Friday, with his season and his weekend on the line, Muzzy Donahue shoots an 8-under-63, which was the second lowest round of the day, only behind Michael Kim's 59. Muzzy jumps all the way inside the top 25 off today at 10-20, alongside Ha Tong Lee. He's going to have a huge gallery. Here was Muzzy on making the cut in Minnesota.
It was unreal. It's hard to put words to it. I've never really experienced this before. This was my first PGA Tour event. So, the most fans I've had watching are maybe 50, probably 50 at the state open a few weeks ago. So I just kind of tried to stay between the ropes and focus on what I could control. And my caddy did a really good job of kind of keeping me present. And yeah, my grandma was definitely with me this week too, or today. Yesterday she left me for the first 10 holes or so, and then she kind of came into play. But yeah, she's looking down on me and looking out for me. So it was a good day.
So golf, not the only part to his story this week. Muzzy's grandmother, Marcy, passed away just this past Monday. He's carrying a custom ball marker this week to honor her. He said whenever his mind starts drifting or gets outside the present, he rubs the ball marker to ground himself. So think about the week that Muzzy's having. Loses his grandma on Monday, makes his first PGA start in Minnesota on Thursday, shoots a 73 back against the wall. Could have easily become a little, a nice ceremonial hometown appearance. Gone home early, packed back Friday, maybe come out and watch some of the action on Saturday and Sunday. Instead, goes out there, shoots a Friday 63, comes back into the top 25, and really in contention in this golf tournament. There's some wind out there early in Minnesota. You're seeing overcast, you're seeing some wind. If that can continue, if the wind can get any even heavier this afternoon, this leaderboard is going to completely change, especially if Michael Kim comes back to the field. Going to let guys in like Muzzy, going to let guys in like Scotty, going to let guys in like Hideki Matsuyama, who, if I had to lay an outright winner going to the weekend, it would be Hideki at 45-1. Everyone have a great weekend, great show, and have a great next week. We'll talk at the halfway point in Detroit, get you a preview there on Tuesday. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor on ESPN Houston. Great work to AJ Russ behind the ones and twos. We'll talk soon.